Welcome back to the Forbidden News Update. I'm Chris Matthew. With me is Corey Hughes, and today joining us as well is Karen Holton. She has a segment to share. Corey's going to get a quick COVID update, and Karen is going to tell us about what is currently going on in Canada, which is very concerning information. We'll be getting to that in just a bit, but how are you both doing today?
Good, thank you.
Good, thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thanks for joining us, Karen. Before we get started with today's stories, I have just an announcement. Excuse me. First of all, I want to thank everybody for their support, insights, advice, and information through the years. If it wasn't for all of you that watching and listening, we definitely wouldn't be doing this right now. And we definitely wouldn't have gotten where we are without all of you. I've recently made a huge decision to leave a day job that I was extremely unhappy with. It was affecting my mental and physical health to the point of daily anxiety and even sometimes depression. And I believe that no one should feel that way at their job. I decided to take a huge leap of faith, and I will be leaving my job to do this show, build our network, and do this full time. As of right now, we are making barely enough to cover the cost of our operations. We do have plenty of opportunities coming in the near future that are going to be able to help us at least eat and maybe even have a roof over our heads. So we're looking forward to that. Now, we're also going to be relocating to Colorado because where we are right now is really not the right environment for us. There are little to no like-minded people in our area. All our friends live elsewhere, and I have this, I guess you could call it, intuitive calling to go to Colorado. And that's really based on recent experiences I've had that I've discussed before. Now, we've managed to save a little bit of money to help us with the move. We still have a ways to go until we can accomplish this. Now, if you watch or listen to my show or podcast, you know that I do rarely ask for donations. In fact, I am really not a fan of asking for them. But that being said, if you would like to donate to help us relocate and get this network in motion, we would greatly appreciate it. Anything at all would help tremendously. Now, anyone that makes a donation over $10, you're going to get 3 months free membership to our premium site. Anyone that donates over $25 will get a pre-order copy of Corey's new upcoming book about the JFK assassination. If you donate, after you donate, I will personally email you, set up your membership, and get that taken care of. We are busting our asses every day to make sure and bring you as much content and information as possible, and at the same time, try to figure out ways to keep everything going and at least be able to eat and have a roof over our head while we do this. We don't do this for the money at all. That's very obvious. We do it because the world needs this information, especially during these times, and we will continue to bring it to you no matter what. You can donate through PayPal or the other fundraiser link in the description. And to those that have already donated, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. I will be putting the links in the description shortly whenever I turn it over to Karen's section, and it will be in the links for the recorded version that I put up after. Now, Corey, do you have anything else to add to that before I start my stories?
Nope, I think he covered it all.
All right, sounds good. Now, I found a few stories that I found interesting. An asteroid with a diameter the size of a refrigerator could strike the Earth the day before the November election. According to celebrity scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson, it's not large enough to do any serious damage. The space rock known as 2018 VP1 is hurling towards Earth at a speed of 25,000 miles per hour and may clip the planet on November 2nd. Now, many so-called conspiracy theorists believe that NASA is covering up facts about potentially dangerous asteroid or asteroids that could be headed towards Earth. On September 24th, a bus-sized asteroid named 2020 SW passed Earth at a very close distance. During its close approach, the asteroid was just 13,000 miles away from the Earth's surface, and it was widely considered one of the closest approaches in recent times. On September 24th, during its close approach, the asteroid was just 13,000 miles away from the surface. Now, this, according to an article from IB Times, a section of conspiracy theorists has started arguing that the recent rise in number of asteroids that make close approaches is an indication that there is a big space rock on the way to hit the Earth. According to these so-called conspiracy theorists, NASA is well aware of the deadly asteroid or asteroids that are currently headed towards the Earth, but the space agency is intentionally covering up the facts about the doomsday space rock to avoid public panic. Scientists believe that around 66 million years ago, a giant asteroid did hit the Earth and resulted in the extinction of dinosaurs. There are many researchers that I've interviewed that, of course, believe that there were multiple cataclysms throughout human history that wiped out most of life on the planet, whether it was an asteroid or any other different type of cataclysm. Although there have been an increase in near-Earth objects lately, there doesn't seem to be much immediate concern from the scientific community. But would they even tell us if there was a massive asteroid headed our way that would wipe out most of the life on the planet? I personally don't consider that on the top of my concern list right now, but I thought it was an interesting story, to say the least. There are many scientists and researchers that do believe a doomsday event on the Earth could be triggered due to an asteroid hit, and that we are long past due for the next great cataclysm. All right, anybody in the chat have any thoughts? Leave your questions in there. And Karen, we'll start with you. Any thoughts on this story?
Well, I got to tell you, I have always felt that the Planet X Nibiru thing is a real thing. And I've seen so much evidence to support that there's all kinds of things going on in our solar system. And so I'm not surprised if it does happen. But I actually believe that most of those in power and control will just throw anything out there to add more fear, more panic, because that's what makes for docile populations. So that's what I'm going to stick to here.
Very good. Now, Corey, I know how you feel about a giant asteroid hitting the Earth.
You lost me at too small to do any significant damage. No, it's a miracle that we're even here in the first place. We've been getting hit by big asteroids for millions of years, and we are long overdue. So, people take for granted what we have because we've been here for a couple thousand years. Yes. This has been a rocky existence.
It has.
For real. It's a miracle we're here at all, for sure.
2020 is getting rocky, and an asteroid would be on par with everything else going on, so you never know.
And if they're coming, hurry up. The election's coming, so let's take care of this before that.
Right. All right. Next story it's also kind of along the same lines of threats to our planet, and I think it may be more of an imminent threat than a giant asteroid, which is the rapid movement of our magnetic north, which is moving rapidly towards Siberia. This was mentioned from the mainstream media for a few days, either last year, the year before, and then we heard nothing else about it. Now, this is I believe it's a big deal. If we have a magnetic reversal, it could send us back to the Stone Age when it comes to electricity and technology, and we don't really know the full effects that it would have. It would be bad, to say the least. Researchers from NASA, our wonderful NASA Project Paperclip scientist there, recently noticed a growing dent in the Earth's magnetic field over South America. This dent refers to the weak magnetic field over a particular region of the Earth. Some scientists believe that this change is not expected to have a direct impact on humans. A fairly well phenomenon called the South Atlantic Anomaly refers to the unusually weak magnetic field over South America and the Southern Atlantic Ocean. Scientists acknowledge that this anomaly can pose a risk to spacecraft and satellites. The recent data from NASA shows that the dent is splitting in two, thus evolving into a major threat for future satellite missions. I would think it could have other negative effects as well. The planet Earth has a strong magnetic field. Earth is similar to a magnet bar, and the north and south poles represent the two sides. The invisible magnetic field lines encircle the planet between the north and south. This magnetic field can extend up to millions of kilometers into outer space. The core is in a constant state of motion about 1,800 miles below the surface, and this motion helps to generate magnetic fields via convective currents that carry a stream of charged particles. Now, the magnetic field is important because it prevents the sun's harmful charged particles entering the Earth's atmosphere. Without the protective bubble of the magnetic field, the solar winds could easily damage the entire Earth's atmosphere and biosphere. It also protects satellites orbiting the Earth from the harmful radiation. The South Atlantic Anomaly arises from two main features, the tilt of the Earth and the flow of molten metals within its outer core. Now, all that being said, is that depends on if the science we are taught in our modern science books and modern scientists is true. But, you know, this is what we have to go off of. The sun expels constant outflow of particles and magnetic fields known as solar wind. The magnetic fields are aligned with a pair of donut-shaped belts known as the Van Allen radiation belts. These cloud-shaped belts specifically trap the charged particles streaming continuously through the solar wind and help to bounce off the particles from Earth's magnetic fields. The belts are part of the magnetosphere, the region of space where Earth's magnetic field meets solar winds. When a strong storm of particles from the sun reaches the Earth, the Van Allen belts can become extremely energized and the magnetic field can become deformed, allowing the charged particles to penetrate the atmosphere. And that is what is happening over South America and the Southern Atlantic Ocean. Currently, the anomaly has no visible impacts on daily life of the Earth's surface, but NASA says they're keeping a close eye on the anomaly. It is crucial for proper functioning of our satellites and digital communications. The recent observations and forecasts show that the region is expanding westward and continuing to weaken in intensity. It is also splitting. The anomaly valley or region of minimum field strength has split into two lobes, creating additional challenges for satellite missions. NASA has been monitoring these changes over South America and the Southern Atlantic. The continued weakening can significantly knock out onboard computers, in addition, interfere with the collection of satellites that pass through it. And if a satellite in low Earth orbit gets hit by the high energy particles, it can even lead to a short circuit. And even the International Space Station passes through the anomaly, and it's dependent on the magnetic field for protection against the harmful radiation. The split in the anomaly appears to coincide with the uptick in the movement of magnetic north. From 1999 to 2005, the Earth's magnetic north pole went from shifting 9 miles at the most each year to as much as 37 miles in a year. These shifts have major consequences for global navigation systems. Anything or anyone that uses a compass, from ships to sea to smartphones. And as you may have heard, many airport runways had to be adjusted. In 2017, the magnetic north pole fell within 240 miles of the geographic north pole. The movement has been so rapid that the British Geological Survey and U.S. National Geophysical Data Center was forced to update the world's magnetic model. There are many theories about the cause, such as cosmic rays, grand solar minimum, the location of space we're traveling through, even Planet X or a perturbing body or the Earth's core expansion. I personally don't claim to know what's causing it, but I definitely think it is something to pay attention to, because once that magnetic north reaches a certain point, there's no stopping it. We will have a reversal, and it could happen within our lifetime. So, Karen or Corey, any thoughts on this story?
Well, I'll say that weird shit happens. That is for sure. I really don't have any other comment on it. This is kind of outside my area of expertise.
Fair enough. Any comments, Karen?
Yes, I want to say there has been a similar anomaly over the Hudson's Bay where they have been quite troubled by the lack of gravity over the Hudson's Bay. So I'm with Corey on that. This one, weird shit's happening everywhere. And, you know, if we make it through the next 10 years, I'll be as surprised as anybody.
Yeah, I think we have a rough few years ahead. I try to have as much hope as possible that we can solve these problems. But when it comes to these major earth changes, there's very little we can do about this, which is quite concerning. Okay, so on to the next one. This is actually really disturbing. More than 200 former residents of coronavirus quarantine facilities in Australia are being urged to test for blood-transmitted diseases, including HIV, after authorities admitted they used the same blood testing devices for multiple guests. It is the latest in a series of COVID-19 setbacks to hit the country and the state of Victoria in particular. In a statement Monday, Victorian health agency Safer Care Victoria said it was contacting 243 people who had a blood glucose level before August 20, as there was a risk of cross-contamination and blood-borne viruses, including HIV. Victoria has reported more than 20,000 coronavirus cases, including over 800 deaths. That's according to their numbers. Excuse me. The country has reported more than 27,000 cases and at least 905 deaths in total, according to Johns Hopkins University. Australia closed its borders to all non-citizens and residents in March, and any returning travelers must pay $3,000 Australian dollars to spend 2 weeks in a state quarantine facility. In the months since, thousands of travelers have passed through Australia quarantine hotels, but not all of them require a blood glucose level test. These devices, which take a finger prick, get a drop of blood, are used to test blood glucose levels in people with diabetes, but many also be used for pregnant women, people who fainted, or people who are generally unwell. Although the devices are designed for several uses by one person, they were used for multiple residents. The needles can be changed between use, but the devices can retain microscopic amounts of blood. According to Safer Care, there is no risk that the devices could have transmitted coronavirus, as it is not spread by blood, but there is a low clinical risk of the spread of hepatitis B and C and HIV. Risk, not list, sorry. The president of the Australian Medical Association, Dr. Omar Korsid, told Nine News that the incident was another blunder in the country's flawed hotel quarantine program. An inquiry into the state's quarantine scheme is still ongoing, and the testing mistake also comes as Australia's so-called travel bubble with New Zealand, heralded as one of the first in the world, launched confusion, to say the least. Australia announced earlier this month it would establish a safe travel zone with neighboring New Zealand, allowing people to travel quarantine-free from New Zealand to states, New South Wales and the Northern Territory. Border restrictions remain in place with Australia, and the bubble is only one way. New Zealand, which has reported fewer than 2,000 COVID-19 cases and 25 deaths, and still requires travelers to undergo a 14-day quarantine in a state facility at the cost of 3,100 New Zealand dollars. Up to 65 New Zealanders were reported to have traveled to Melbourne, which is not included in the bubble, according to Australian national broadcaster ABC. Authorities have subsequently contacted most of those to believed to be in Melbourne, and they are not in quarantine. Other travelers from New Zealand have flown to South Australia and Western Australia, both places which were not part of the bubble at the time, ABC reported. South Australia has now joined the bubble. There are a lot of ties between Australia and New Zealand, which under normal circumstances have some of the most open border rules in the world. And now it seems like New Zealand, Australia, and Canada, these countries are taking very extreme and concerning measures when it comes to this, and apparently are blundering up even the tests, which is a worldwide phenomenon as well. Karen or Corey, any thoughts on this one?
Well, the depths of stupid that we're seeing from these people never ceases to end. The idea that they would lock you up because you're sick and then make you sicker is it's just overwhelming irony. The thing that really bothers me about all this is that nobody will be held accountable. Nobody. Nobody's going to go to jail over this. Nobody is going to pay a fine. It's just going to be, status quo, because this is how it is. And that's very unfortunate.
Right. Anything to add to that, Karen?
Well, just I agree with Corey. And I believe that the world leaders and the elites are completely insane, psychopathic, incompetent, and they don't give a fiddler's fart about you and I or any of us common people. And I think that if it wasn't for the mass fear campaign and the psychological warfare, they wouldn't be getting away with this. But I agree with Corey, just like the elite pedophiles and all of them, they're untouchable. And they've been untouchable for thousands of years. I mean, if you review history, this is not new. It's always something, one thing or another. So who knows?
Yep, it is. It's getting really rough out there. And that being said, I think it's a good time to get into your report on Canada, on what's going on there. Give the folks around here a little idea of some of the measures that they are taking. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you, Karen.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. First of all, I want to say that this is a fairly disturbing report. And most people who hear it just don't want to hear anymore. Rather than becoming proactive, they're more like the ostrich, sticking their head in the sand and not wanting to deal with it, not wanting to believe it. I would say most Canadians are in complete denial of this situation. And that's too bad, because they may not be able to do anything really to stop it, but they could sure alter the way that they're going to deal with it when the time comes. So with that, I'm going to read the basic article first, and then I'm going to go to the timeline, which has the same information but lined up on a timeline, and then I'm hoping we can have a bit of a group discussion. So the following information was found online. I first saw it in Canadian Politician Leaks New COVID Lockdown Plan and Great Reset Dictatorship. Australia is part of it, and this came out of Cairns News, North Queensland People Power News Service, and you can find the article at www.cairnsnews.org. That information was actually taken from another article. So the following information was originally published online in the Canadian Report, found at thecanadianreport.ca. Is this leaked memo really Trudeau's COVID plan for 2021? You decide. And it was posted Saturday, initially posted Saturday, October the 10th. So it's very recent information. So in this article, I'm just quoting the whistleblower, but I will be adding a few comments of other things I know that are going on in Canada that support the article. So the whistleblower said, "I want to provide you with some very important information. I'm a committee member within the Liberal Party of Canada. I sit within several committee groups, but the information I am providing is originating from the Strategic Planning Committee, which is steered by the PMO, which I believe is the Prime Minister's office. I need to start off by saying that I'm not happy doing this, but I have to. As a Canadian, and more importantly, as a parent who wants a better future, not only for my children, but for other children as well. The other reason I'm doing this is because roughly 30% of the committee members are not pleased with the direction this will take Canada. But our opinions have been ignored, and they plan on moving forward toward their goals. They have also made it very clear that nothing will stop these planned outcomes." Now, 30% are not pleased. That means 70% of our elected officials are pleased with this, which is going to blow you a little bit away as we get into the information. So here's the roadmap. The roadmap and aim was set out by the Prime Minister's office and is as follows. Phase in secondary lockdown restrictions on a rolling basis, starting with major metropolitan areas first and expanding outward. Expected by November 2020. Well, we can already see that this is already happening. Depending on what city you're in, there's different restrictions that are being rolled out. Some places you have to wear a mask if you leave your home. Other places, you only have to wear a mask when you're going to Walmart or Staples or Superstore. Then rush the acquisition of or construction of isolation facilities across every province and territory, expected by December 2020. Now, they wouldn't be doing this if they weren't planning on filling these isolation facilities. They wouldn't be doing this if they weren't planning on putting people in there. And December is coming very, very quickly. Daily new cases of COVID-19 will surge beyond capacity of testing, including increases in COVID-related deaths, following the same growth curves expected by the end of November 2020. So basically, we're seeing the same crap they handed us in the spring of this year, same stuff, same everything, and all the people who believed it before, of course, are going to believe it again. Complete and total secondary lockdown, much stricter than the first and second rolling phase restrictions, are expected by the end of December 2020 and early January 2021. And at that point, we're expecting it to be much the way it is in Australia. And so Australia started, then England, and now it's going to happen in Canada. Reform and expansion of the unemployment program to be transitioned into the Universal Basic Income Program. And that's expected by the first quarter of 2021. So many people have lost their jobs that the unemployment program is pretty much defunct. And so they're just going to move everybody into this Universal Basic Income Program, which, of course, they don't tell us what that's going to look like, but they're just letting us know that this is what's going to happen. Projected COVID-19 mutation and or co-infection with secondary virus, referred to as COVID-21, leading to a third wave with much higher mortality rate and higher rate of infection, expected by February of 2021. Now, they must know something we don't know if they're going to make these kind of predictions, or it's all bogus and they just want to ramp up the fear before they do their next bit of dirty business with us. And I'm hoping later on, Corey, you're going to help clarify some of this because you've done some brilliant, brilliant research. So daily new cases of COVID-21 hospitalizations and COVID-19 and COVID-21 related deaths will exceed medical care facilities capacity, expected between the first and second quarter of 2021. Where did we hear that before? Oh, the hospitals are overflowing and we can't keep up with them. Meanwhile, people go over to the hospitals and they're empty. Hospitals are going bankrupt because they're not providing services and they're not having income. So I think they're just using the whole COVID thing as a way to justify all the other business that they plan to do anyway. Enhanced lockdown restrictions, referred to as the third lockdown, will be implemented. Full travel restrictions will be imposed, including interprovince and intercity, expected in the second quarter of 2021. So that's not just travel between countries, that's travel between provinces, travel between cities. It's all going to be restricted. Then transitioning of individuals into the Universal Basic Income program is expected mid-second quarter. So now everybody's supposed to be on the Universal Basic Income program because obviously the jobs are going to be further restricted and more people are going to be out of work. Next, the projected supply chain breakdowns, inventory shortages, large economic instability is expected in quarter two. Now, this is already happening. I've seen some recent documentaries where the food storage and food production facilities in both England and the United States are suddenly catching on fire and burning to the ground. So that's, you know, egg suppliers, meat and poultry suppliers, vegetable suppliers. There's hundreds of these are suddenly bursting into flame and burning down to the ground. And I believe this is tied into their bogus green energy program that they're trying to also sell us at the same time. And they're going, oh, we have to remove the emissions and all the cows and the pigs and the food is all, you know, adding to the carbon footprint. It's all bullshit. All of it's bullshit. I'm sorry, but that's my opinion. Supply chain breakdowns, inventory shortages, and large economic stability. We're already experiencing large economic instability, big time. And people that I know on the West Coast, when they go to Costco to get their usual things, the shelves are empty. So Costco's constantly moving everything around, kind of like a sleight of hand, so that people think, oh, they just moved it to a different area. But meanwhile, people can't get quality health items like MTC oil, sodium-reduced bacon, all kinds of their better quality products that are good for your health are disappearing very quickly off the shelves now. Then deployment of military personnel into major metropolitan areas as well as all major roadways to establish travel checkpoints, restrict travel and movement, provide logistical support to the area, and this is expected in the third quarter. And I don't know if you folks have seen, there's quite a few documentaries out now where the Chinese are importing troops from China into Canada. So last year, Justin Trudeau, the prime minister, signed into law that the Chinese government can send in troops into Canada at any time, as many as they want, to protect Chinese assets. So I'm going to say, what is a Chinese asset? Well, I'm not an expert, but I do know that large portions of Canada have been sold off to people who live in China. So that might be one of their assets. But also China is buying up the Canadian debt. And so who has the debt? Well, the citizens have the debt. So maybe their assets are actually Canadian citizens. Now, these troops are already in training in Stanley Park, in Port Rupert, Port Rupert, and in several other locations. It's already happening. And they are allowed to be immigrated and to move freely in Canada without the knowledge or permission of the officials in any particular area. So it's just happening. And There's nothing legally we can do about it because Justin Trudeau signed that into law. So I think that's going to come. I think everything's going to happen actually sooner than what's projected here. So the whistleblower goes on to say, along with that provided roadmap, the Strategic Planning Committee was asked to design an effective way of transitioning Canadians to meet an unprecedented economic endeavor, one that would change the face of Canada and forever alter the lives of Canadians. What we were told was that in order to offset what was essentially an economic collapse on an international scale, that the federal government was going to offer Canadians a total debt relief. Boy, if this isn't a Trojan horse, I don't know what is. The whistleblower goes on to say, this is how it works. The federal government will offer to eliminate all personal debts, your mortgages, your loans, your credit cards, etc., with all which all funding will be provided to Canada by the IMF under what will be known as the World Debt Reset Program. Now, I just want to mention, isn't that interesting? That reminds me of problem, reaction, solution. The problem, oh, COVID, all these people were out of work because of the draconian measures that the those in charge have forced us to undergo. So many people have lost their jobs and suddenly they can't pay their mortgages or loans and their credit cards and they're borrowing money. And so they're incurring debt. And then, of course, they're a bit freaked out on what they're going to do with that debt. So the Canadian government brings in the World Debt Reset Program, which is supposed to be the solution to the problem that they created in the first place. So in exchange for acceptance of this total debt forgiveness, the individual would forfeit ownership of any and all property and assets forever. The individual would also have to agree to partake in the COVID-19 and COVID-21 vaccination schedule, which would provide the individual with unrestricted travel and unrestricted living, even under a full lockdown, through the use of photo identification referred to as Canada's Health Pass. Now, again, this is totally bogus because, first of all, the vaccination does not prevent people. It actually causes people to shed virus and to spread it more. It's not a cure. We don't even know what it's going to do because there's never been vaccinations like these. In fact, I don't even think they should be called vaccinations. Again, that's just the way the government and the powers that be, they use language that's more palatable to the common citizens, but it's complete bullshit. So if there really was a COVID-19 and COVID-21, my senses say they're not going to give you a shot and then just give you your health pass and give you unrestricted travel and unrestricted living. No, this is another bullshit psychological propaganda warfare to get us to do what they want us to do with minimal hiccups along the way. So the whistleblower goes on to say, committee members asked who would become the owner of the forfeited property and the assets in that scenario, and what would happen to lenders or financial institutions. And we were simply told the World Debt Reset Program will handle all of the details. Y'all don't need to be worrying about that. It's all taken care of. Several committee members also questioned what would happen to individuals if they refused to participate in the World Debt Reset Program or the health pass or the vaccination schedule. And the answer we got was very troubling. Essentially, we were told it was our duty to make sure we came up with a plan to ensure that would never happen. We were told it is in the individual's best interest to participate. When several committee members pushed relentlessly to get an answer, we were told that those who refused would first live under the lockdown restrictions indefinitely. And that over a short period of time, as more Canadians transitioned into the debt forgiveness program, the ones who refused to participate would be deemed a public safety risk and would be relocated into isolation facilities. Once in those facilities, they would be given two options: participate in the debt forgiveness program and be released, or stay indefinitely in the isolation facility under the classification of a serious public health risk and have all their assets seized. Now, I got to tell you, my common sense tells me this isn't going to be some hotel where we all get to go and hang out and play cards all day. These are going to be work camps.
Now,
absolutely going to be work camps.
Karen, before you go any further with this, this is from... you know, apparently testimony from a whistleblower that, you know, we can't really verify any of this information, you know, although it's not surprising if it would be true, you know, all this stuff that is occurring in Canada. You know, I have heard very similar things that are happening right now. But I just want to ask about the whistleblower, if you have any other information that could kind of back up the validity of what he's telling us, you know, any other information about this person?
No. I have no further information. And quite frankly, Chris, I hope it's not true. Right. I hope it's not true. But what if it is? And we have to weigh out that it might be true and it might not be true in order for us to, plan how we're going to handle it.
Well, yeah, I did. It definitely wouldn't surprise me. There are extreme things going on in Australia and New Zealand. And, you know, I've had plenty of so-called whistleblowers and researchers come out and say similar information about things that are going to be occurring in the future. And this does align with it. And I have a feeling after our election here, we're going to start seeing some more of these draconian kind of mandates being enforced, but it's hard to tell with everything going on right now. Some of it may be going on right now in our country we may not know about. It seems like, you know, with this whole COVID thing, that when you look at it, there's a plan. You know, to me, there was a plan, and whether it's working or what the future of the plan is, we have yet to see. But I agree, you know, this information should be put out there, and people should look at it for themselves and make their own decisions and see if it resonates with you. But yeah, it is very concerning, and I agree that we should take a good look at it. And sorry for interrupting you.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Good points. Really good points, Chris. And I hope it's not true. But I got to tell you, I spent 5 years in higher education, university and college, and in every different type of course I took, the first thing they did was they told us the eugenics movement, which means depopulation, is a real thing, and it is progressing. And also, because of my anti-poverty work back in the early 2000s and 1990s, we knew this was actually coming, but it's so horrendous, nobody wants to believe it, and I can't say I blame them. So, you know, I think people, it's pretty normal to have a bit of cognitive dissonance around this. But I'm just going to finish this up, and then let's get into a bit of a discussion when we go to the timeline. Sure. So as you can imagine, after hearing all of this, it turned into quite a heated discussion and escalated beyond anything I've ever witnessed before. In the end, it was implied by the Prime Minister's office that the whole agenda will move forward no matter who agrees with it or not. So you may as well get on board, because it's not going away, according to the Prime Minister's office. That it won't just be Canada, but in fact, all nations will have similar roadmaps and agendas. That we need to take advantage of the situations before us to promote change on a grander scale for the betterment of everyone. Ha ha ha. Then the members who were opposed and ones who brought up key issues that would arise from such a thing were completely ignored. Our opinions and concerns were ignored. We were simply told to just do it. All I know is that I don't like it, and I think it's going to place Canadians into a dark future. So this was actually posted on October 14th in Vancouver, Canada. So just to, I created this timeline. Unfortunately, it's a little bit small. I hope people can see it. It starts with November 2020 and it runs through to the end of 2021. And I've just put what the timeline said was going to happen here below. So starting before the end of this year, which is only a couple of months left, new cases of COVID-19 and secondary lockdowns. What do you fellas have to say about that?
New cases of COVID-19, secondary. Well, that to me is pretty obvious that they are trying to push for a second wave because of all the media propaganda that's going on about, you know, the upticks and the fudging of the numbers, and the numbers are ridiculous. According to the numbers, there is no more pandemic, but it's obvious to me, at least around here, the news that I watch in the U.S., that they are trying to maybe prepare us for the second wave to come, because they don't want this to disappear. That's my thoughts. Any thoughts on that, Corey?
Yeah, let me comment on this document for a second.
Sure.
As we go through this document, first thing that strikes me is that it contains striking concrete detail. It purports to come from an inside source. It definitely attempts to take advantage of the state of mind of the group that it is intended for. To me, this document in particular has all of the earmarks of a psychological warfare document that would be released intentionally to stoke fear and anxiety. And remember that disinformation is spread by telling half the truth, right? You tell mm-hmm. half the truth and the rest of it you embellish. Mm-hmm. So I have no doubts there's a big nugget of truth in all of that. But the author shifts tones a couple times, seems to know a lot, but then claims to not know anything. There's a lot of weird things about the method of writing.
Yeah.
I think that document's a psych warfare document. Like I said, that does not mean that it does not have a huge part of it residing in truth.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I would respect
definitely
your
important
opinion
to look
because
at.
You've had so much, and you've done so much research into psychological warfare that I would definitely hear you on that one. Yeah, I also felt that although it was very specific in some ways, it was extremely vague in other ways. But then we don't know, maybe this person, if this is all true and they leak this, they might be really afraid for their families. They might be really afraid for themselves. They might probably lose their job. And that it does seem to be also hastily written because it doesn't seem to be in the best of proper English either, the way it's worded. But, you know, we don't know if this is real or not. But you know what? If I don't tell people about it,
absolutely,
and it turns out to be true, I'm going to feel crappy. So,
no, I think that stuff like this absolutely needs to be shown because it documents the record. And you can go back later when we have more information and be like, look, this is what they tried to tell us then. You know, yeah. And like you can see in hindsight, it's easier to see in hindsight all the mistakes that they made. Yep. You know, it's harder to detect them as they're coming.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Definitely. So before the end of this year, they're going to complete isolation facilities and complete total secondary lockdown. Now, I haven't seen any evidence of them building isolation facilities. I've seen some information where they can quickly turn Costco's and Walmart's into FEMA camps, but I haven't really seen any building of, but then I don't get out much and I don't watch mainstream news. So
yeah, I've heard the Walmart FEMA camp thing for years and
yeah.
I'm not sure I'm falling for that one, but you know, it's definitely interesting to look at.
You know, and I think that as things get tighter and tighter, especially here in the United States, mm-hmm. there are people who are not going to go along. And the bottom line is they always send the cops out, right? The cops are the front lines in any kind of act of aggression against the people. So it's the cops coming to your door to get you, not any of these people making the decisions. So what's going to end up happening is you're going to have cops trying to take people off to wherever. And you're going to have people fighting back, you know, on a very micro level, like a one-on-one. Like, I'm not going. You're not taking me anywhere. And you're going to see a lot of dead cops. That is inevitable. how many of them is going to take before we kind of awaken on a larger scale? Because this is another thing is like they're moving way too fast. Like they're moving way too quickly. You can implement stuff like this over a longer period of time. If they took a decade to do something like this, people would just everyone would be wearing a mask. I'd be wearing a freaking mask and happy about it because they would have indoctrinated us over such a long period of time. You don't notice the boiling frog. But no, they flipped the light switch and they dumped all us on us at once. And they're moving way too quickly. And the people implementing the propaganda are not good at their jobs. And there's a lot of mistakes they're making. I mean, they've pulled off the biggest lies in history, you know, and now they're doing this. No, sorry. This is a bunch of dummies running this thing.
Yeah, I can't believe either that the government where, you know, I had done that show with you, Chris, where I had exposed all the evil stuff that had gone on that was government sanctioned in the history of Canada. All of a sudden, are they going to be all good and really looking out for our best interest? No, I don't believe that for a minute. So getting on to the first quarter, the unemployment program transitioned into the Universal Basic Income Program. We've been hearing about that for a long time, and it does make sense that unemployment can only support so many people and then runs out of money. I mean, everything is running out of money. I mean, I know they're printing tons of it, but it doesn't have any value. And so, that wouldn't surprise me at all. And then COVID-21, the third wave. Well, if they know about that this far ahead, then my guess is they're creating the COVID-21. They're probably cooking it up right now, getting ready to serve it out. I know I sound very jaded, but I got to tell you, I got no faith in the elites or the powers above or over the last year has been proven to me over and over again and on so many levels that the whole world is run by psychopaths. So none of this would surprise me. I'm interested to see what you have to say, Chris and Corey, about this COVID-21. I had never even heard of it before reading this article.
Well, I mean, I don't know about the COVID-21. It's just probably this coming year's version of coronavirus. But I can speak to, you know, the unemployment and the crashing of our economy and this probable universal basic income system. It seems inevitable that, of course, you know, so many people are going to lose their jobs that they're going to want to implement something like this. You know, that really doesn't surprise me. And I could see something like that happening in the near future. And that's all I really have to say about that.
I want to read a quote real quick and tell me if this applies to the current situation or not. America is a golden calf, and we will suck it dry, chop it up, and sell it off piece by piece until there is nothing left but the world's biggest welfare state that we will create and control. This is what we do to countries that we hate. We destroy them very slowly. That was said by Benjamin Netanyahu in 1990. And I think it aptly applies to what's going on in the world today.
100%. Yeah, we talked about that too.
This is an intentional destruction of America and the global economy by the Zionists. That is the bottom line. So
I agree.
And if it wasn't them, it'd be the first time in history. That's how you know it's always them. Mm-hmm. And so I have some information on COVID that I just kind of stumbled upon this week, and I'm kind of scratching my head over it. People are making a very big deal over a document that had come out that indicated that they didn't have a sample of COVID for the testing. And so I did some digging into that. Are you guys ready for me to screen share?
Well, Karen, you have you have anything else to finish before the, you have a couple of sections left.
Just, it's information I've already gone over, but basically just the restricted movement where we not only won't be able to travel to other countries, won't be able to travel within the country, won't be able to travel intercity, and even to the point of won't be able to travel within our own cities. And I don't know if they're going to use the same 5-kilometer radius that you have to stay within is what they're using in other countries now, but it's not going to be fun. And then, of course, the food supply breakdowns, and that I've been expecting that actually for a couple of years. And then, of course, the deployment of military, that along with the influx of Chinese soldiers that are training in British Columbia, that makes me pretty nervous too. But again, it's like what Corey was saying, they're moving way, way too fast. And if it's okay with you, I just want to make a few closing remarks.
Of course.
If this article is accurate, I'm not saying it is. I hope it's not. But if it's accurate, we will experience a terrifying life as never imagined by any of us. And I recommend that people do four things. First thing is get right within yourself. Improve your lifestyle. Learn to meditate and reach out to your higher self, your spiritual guides, and God as we each understand it to be. Because if we're not in a certain state of health and mental health and spiritual health, wow, when the shit hits the fan, it's going to be completely devastating. And I also recommend that people act as though this is true, even if it's not. Get right with your families and your close friends. Make sure you have as much food and other necessities stored away as possible, and make a plan on how you will proceed under these projected conditions. So sit down with your family and friends and make a plan. If you want, you can treat it as a game. What would you do if this happened? But if you don't do some planning ahead of time, it's going to come like a thief in the night, and it's going to be game over for most Canadians. I had hoped to also put the latest Deagle predictions on population, but they've changed the website, so now it's hard to find where it has the countries and then what the population is now, what it will be, you know, in the near future. That would have been beautiful to add to this. But also I recommend that people network with other like-minded people and organizations. And now is your chance to form solid, supportive communities. I also recommend, now if you're not a spiritual person, that's okay. You can do it a different way. But I recommend that people pray and support vulnerable individuals. So when our lockdown started here in Red Deer, Alberta, I was still able to go for a walk. I passed this house and this little old lady came out to get something out of her yard. And I walked past her and I went back and I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Do you have anybody looking after you?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Do you have enough food?" She said, "Yes." I says, "Well, I'm just one of your neighbors. I just want to make sure you're okay." And then I went on my way. So, you know, maybe we could also keep an eye out for vulnerable individuals. And then, of course, I also say pray some more. Because if there's a God in heaven and angels and all these things, like I believe there is, we're going to really, really need their help. And that's the end of my share. And like I said, I really hope this doesn't come true. And please do take it away, Corey. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Before Corey does, thank you so much for that report, Karen. And just let everyone know if they would like to find out more about you, what you have to offer in your work, where they can do so.
My website is www.karenholtonhealthcoach.com. The spelling of my name is right here. And also, I'm sure there will be a link in the description box below. I also have a YouTube channel, Karen Holton TV. I'm also on social media. So, and you can just put me in your search engine and you'll see lots of stuff pop up. So thank you, Chris. Thank you for asking.
All right. Thank you so much, Karen. Great information. All right, Corey, what you got for us today?
Okay. So let me share screen. Okay, so let me see if I can actually, nope, can't move the faces off the corner as usual. So, all right, so this basically, there's some talk recently about them not having a sample of this coronavirus, and therefore if they didn't have a sample, all the tests are invalid. And so that seemed too good of a gift for them to just give us in data on their website. So I had to dig into it a little bit further. And so the statement that really is kind of causing the stir, this is the document it came from. So the statement makes it, since no quantified virus isolates of the 2019 nCoV are currently available, assays designed for detection of the 2019 nCoV RNA were tested with characterized stocks of in vitro transcribed full-length RNA, N-gene from GenBank accession MN908947.2 of known titer RNA copies spiked into a dilutant consisting of suspension of human A549 cells and viral transport medium to mimic clinical specimen. Now, I found this statement problematic for many reasons. It's not that they didn't have a sample. What they did was they created their test based on the genome sequence laid out in the GenBank accession MN908947.2. All right. And I'll get to what that actually is here in a second. But you'll also see here that the known titer spiked into a dilutant consisting of suspension of human A549 cells. This is what kind of strikes me as weird. Now, I am not any kind of doctor or physiologist. I could be completely wrong on this. However, my understanding of how these kind of tests work is you have a sample, you have a genetic sample, and you have the medium in which you inject that sample so you can store it and test it, et cetera. In this particular case, they also inserted suspension of human A549 cells. So you have the medium which holds the viral sample, and then you also have suspension of A549 cells, which they say was to mimic clinical specimen, as if you were to take a blood sample from somebody, you would have human cells in there also. And I think that's extremely problematic. And if I'm wrong and someone out there can tell me why I'm wrong, I'd very much appreciate you correcting me on this. But basically, it seems as though if they are testing humans for a substance that includes human cells, we're all going to test positive for human cells. You know, that's kind of how I interpret this. I don't know if this is different from how they would normally do any other virus, or why they would want the test sample to mimic a clinical specimen, because you would not want in the comparison RNA, you would not want human cells. You would want the virus and the neutral medium, and that's it, because the neutral medium wouldn't show up on any testing. It wouldn't affect testing in any way. All you would have is the suspension of the initial virus. But in this case, this is the addition of suspension of human A549 cells. That just set off alarm bells. And like I said, I'm not a doctor or anything. I could be completely wrong. And if
that's interesting. And if anyone if anyone does know any more information about this, or you know, is more of a specialist in this, send us an email, or if you're watching right now, leave a comment, because it's very interesting.
Yeah. Okay, this I got from an FDA website. This goes to speak of requirements in companies in manufacturing and transporting these the mediums that they're putting the virus in. Okay, so I would think you'd need, you know, just from being a layman, I would assume you'd need some sort of sterile environment. You would need pure ingredients so as to not allow contamination. And so this is on the FDA website on their FAQs. So do I need to manufacture my transport media under quality systems in accordance with 21 CFR Part 820? That is basically the that system is basically the guidelines on how to produce a viral transport medium, which is the neutral solution that the virus should be housed in. And it says here, yes, transport media are required to comply with all requirements, including 21 CFR Part 820. However, as discussed in the COVID-19 transport media policy, in order to help increase availability, commercially manufactured transport media, FDA does not intend to enforce the quality system requirements under 21 CFR Part 820. When commercial manufacturers of VTM or sterile PBS saline transport media within the scope of the guidance conform to ISO and whatever rule that is, medical devices quality management systems, requirements for regulatory purposes. All right, so they're saying as long as you tell us that you're in compliance, we're going to believe you. Right. And I think that's very problematic if we're getting all these positive tests. And now the FDA is waiving their quality management oversight of companies who are manufacturing this medium. Right. So and these tests, the PCR tests, are extremely sensitive. And I have a feeling that they're lowballing all these tests that are coming out. And as we'll see, like pretty much anybody can start to manufacture viral medium and sell it to whomever they want. And the FDA will be cool with it. Do I need to notify FDA that I am developing and distributing this transport media under policies outlined in the COVID-19 transport media, whatever that says? As discussed in the COVID-19 transport media policy, the FDA does not intend to object to the distribution and use of viral transport media devices or PBS saline transport media devices, where the manufacturer gives notification of validation of their transport media devices as outlined in the policy. So what they're saying is any Joe Schmo can go ahead and make this stuff and sell it to whomever, whatever test manufacturer they want. And as long as they swear on a stack of Bibles that they followed all the procedures, they will not be investigated for quality control. That, to me, screams that these tests are bunk. All right, so the Wuhan Seafood Market Pneumonia Virus Isolate, that is what this thing was originally called. The number that they referenced that they built their tests off of, which was, where is it on here? I can't see it. Oh, here it is, MN908947.2. That is what the CDC and their guidelines based their testing protocols off of, okay? This particular Wuhan Seafood Market Pneumonia Virus Isolate. You will see here, this report is from a Chinese lab. All these guys are Chinese. And the thing that struck my attention was that this replaced another sequence of the RNA of the alleged Wuhan pneumonia virus. It replaced MN908947.1. And then it was replaced again on January 17th with MN908947.3. Now, this is where it really starts to get interesting, because you can tell that the Chinese here, they ditched this 0.2 version because they had a newer updated 0.3 version. Also, the name changed when it went to 0.3. It turned into Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome Coronavirus 2 Isolate, right? So it changed from one type of pneumonia virus into this Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome. Now, could they have just updated the name? Sure. They could have just updated the name. But there's a couple of things here that don't make any sense. First off, they had switched to that on January the 17th, 2020. But it says here that this change occurred on 18th of March, 2020. Why there's that gap? Who knows? I have no idea. That I found to be very unusual. All right. So yeah, I'm going to go into the differences between them. Now, the standard that the CDC is using on the right is on the left, MN908947.2, and it replaced MN908947.1, right? So, of course, you know, if you get new information, you're going to update the RNA sequence, but you will see that here there's very few changes. You had a source change there, and when you look at the rest of them, there's very little change in the actual sequencing of this genome, and when you look down at the actual sequence, the RNA sequences, they're identical. They do not really change until the very end, right? So it's almost identical with a very small change. That is what I would expect to see when you're just updating your data with new information added to what you already know. Now, when they switched from MN908947.2 to 0.3, you'll start to see a lot more changes in not only their sources and procedures, but you'll see that the genome itself is different across the board in so many places. All of these headings are different. I had over 500 lines. The entire genetic code is different. So they upgraded from 0.1, which is the Wuhan pneumonia, to 0.2, which is the Wuhan pneumonia, to 0.3, which is now SARS-CoV-2. But now you have a genetic change of 500 lines. The entire genetic code is different, right? So this isn't just a small upgrade. This is, they switch viruses. This is a different virus.
Now, this would you think this could be just because of natural mutation of the virus?
I'm not a doctor, and I don't know. But none of these are the same. None of these genetic sequences are the same. They're completely different. If any of them were the same, it would be a highlighted box in white. But it's not, because they're all different. So I don't know what that means. Like I said, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lab tech. None of that stuff. If anybody can correct me on my on what I'm suggesting, please do so. But yeah, so they went to the – so the Chinese started working on all of their COVID stuff based off of the sequence on the right, and that happened in January of 2020. The thing that's kind of crazy is that we stuck with the 0.2 version and made all of the standards for testing for the 0.2 version. And that was 7 months after. That was July 13th, 2020, that the CDC made that their standard, that they would create these PCR tests from. So when you have labs doing tests, they're comparing the results to this 0.2 sample of the virus, which was set forth as the standard by CDC, whereas the Chinese are using this 0.3, which is a completely different genome sequence. What does that mean? Who the hell knows? But it's fishy. It's really fishy. The thing that struck me about all this was that, you know, the question of the human cells being inserted into the samples, because if they're going to test us for being human, they're going to fucking get 100% positive, you know? And I think that's a really good possibility as to what is going on and why we're getting all these positive tests. That's the same question. What was this one here? Yeah, so why did the CDC do this? Why are they using a lab reference that's 6 months outdated for all their testing? And why are there human cells present? And I believe that was it. These are some, pretty important questions based on data that is overly complicated and the average Joe Schmo isn't going to understand how to interpret. And I don't know how to interpret, right? So could definitely use some assistance there. But that's that. I think it's some pretty important stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely...
doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. It's worth bringing up, especially if there are people out there watching or that see this that can maybe help shed a little light on it. The more information, the better when it comes to all of this bullshit that's going on right now. Karen, you have any thoughts on what Corey presented?
Only one, and that is I took statistics at university, and what Corey has pointed out could be referred to as confounding variables. And when there's confounding variables, you throw the whole thing out because it's contaminated. You know, it's no longer factual information that you can actually do the math with. So that's all I have to say. Plus, I agree with Corey. I think it's a huge psychological warfare program to get us to be compliant so they can move us into whatever, the new world order economic reset. That's what I think.
Yeah, and a lot of people do concur. So
you got to think about the economics of this whole thing, right? So they destroy the economy, they force you onto some sort of government program, right? That's the fundamentals of communism. As we were going over that stuff, it was like, this is Soviet Russia, right?
Yeah.
Who created communism? Mm-hmm. The same imperialistic group of people that I'm always talking about, you know? They created communism. This obviously always leads to them.
Well, it is up to us to try and make any changes that we can to make this different. Once again, I want to thank you, Corey, Karen, and everyone watching. And until next time, everyone have a great day.